For a number of weeks now, during my time on the program, we've been going through various aspects of the scriptures, and we'd like to conclude those thoughts today in Psalm 119, that just in this one chapter addresses so many of the points that we've been trying to consider throughout these messages. Psalm 119, you may know, is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses. And I'll give you a little bit of homework to actually go read the entire chapter all the way through. I know that may sound like a lot of verses, but it really won't take you that long to read it straight through. It's a very unique structure of this psalm. It's what's known as an acrostic hymn, because each section is composed of 8 verses, begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So, for example, this would be similar to a song with 8 lines in a specific stanza, and each stanza begins with a consecutive letter of the English alphabet. The first one starts with A, the second stanza starts with B, the third stanza starts with C, and so on and so forth. And that's how Psalm 119 is structured. There's 8 verses attributed to each letter, and 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and therefore we arrive at 176 verses. In total. And as is the case with all of the scripture that we have in the book of the Psalms, these are literally songs. So this is a chapter that is penned literally as a song of praise of God's word. And that's really the central theme of the entire chapter. The full 176 verses is a song of exaltation and praise of the word of God. And it considers many of the points that we've been addressing in these messages. Now this book is composed similar to the Proverbs, in that it is not necessarily dealing with specific subjects, but it jumps from one idea to another, all under the heading or the general theme of the Word of God. So it'll be difficult to follow along with me today because I'm going to group the verses that we consider based on subjects rather than the consecutive verses in order in the chapter. So, for that reason, it would probably be difficult to follow along with me, so I hope you can just pay really good attention, listen to what this chapter is conveying, and then hopefully go back this week and read it straight through. One of the most fundamental facts that we have to understand about the scriptures that we considered is the divine inspiration and preservation of God's Word. In verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." So God's word was true as it was originally inspired, but the righteous judgments of God are going to endure forever as well. Verse 144, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting." Verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word is established, steadfast in heaven, and because God does not change, therefore the divine inspiration and preservation of his Bible does not change. God didn't have one opinion on a subject as the Bible was penned, but now he's changed his mind on it because God does not change. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is the authority of our truth. Verse 142, "Thy law is the truth." We remember from John chapter 17, in verse 17, Jesus said, speaking of his disciples, "Sanctify them according to thy truth. Thy word is truth." So God's word is truth. Verse 151, "All thy commandments are truth." Not just one little bitty segment that we can adhere to in a more rigid way, but all of God's commandments are truth. Verse 140, "Thy word is very pure." It's pure, tested and refined. Verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right." Remember, God's word should be the authority and our only rule of faith and practice, not just in the way in which we conduct worship and doctrine in the church, but in our daily individual lives. Therefore, we need to have this perspective of God's word, that we know and we accept that God's judgments are right. We mentioned this in our prior messages, that this should be our affirmation of our opinion of God's word as our only rule of faith and practice. Verse 128, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." If my actions are contrary to what the Bible says, then I operate under the presupposition that God's word is right, and therefore I am wrong, because I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So we see the standard of God's truth. This truth is settled and established, and we should accept that and apply it to our life and esteem God's word as truthful and authoritative in our lives. And then, what is our attitude towards God? We should have a profound reverence and respect for the Scriptures. Verse 117, I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Not a fear of terror or anxiety, but a reverence for God's word. And then in verse 161, my heart standeth in awe of God's word. Are you amazed and in awe of God's word? We should be, because it is absolutely amazing and astounding what God has left for us, the way in which He inspired it, the way in which He has preserved it, the way it is so relevant to our lives that we can be going through specific trials and circumstances, and God can bless us to open up to a specific scripture that gives us healing and blessing and comfort. I stand in awe of God's word and the amazing privilege that I have to read and study it in the manner that I do. If we have that type of respect and reverence for God's word, we should praise Him for inspiring this word for us. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. When's the last time you praised God for inspiring this word and leaving it for you? These scriptures are what give us the knowledge and the hope of eternal life, that we know what Christ has done for us. But it also gives us the practical admonitions for how we should live in our life to avoid the perils and destruction that can await us if we're not obedient to the commandments of God. But God was so good not to leave us in the dark and expect us to wander around blindly and inevitably fall into a ditch, but He told us what He expected of us. When's the last time you praised God for that? The psalmist says, I do it 7 times a day. Speaking of a number of perfection and completion, he says, I'm praising God all the time. At midnight do I rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy judgments. This entire chapter is a song of praise about God's word. And in verse 54, he said, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That I'm praising God, singing praise unto Him because of His word. How much affection and love do we really have toward the Word of God? The psalmist had an amazing amount of love and delight and joy in the Scriptures. Verse 127, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Do we have that attitude toward God's word? That we truly love and value and cherish the Scriptures more than gold and silver, more than great spoil that we might find? Do we really love the commandments of God more than material blessings and even gold and wealth? Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do we crave the sweetness of the Scriptures as much as we crave the sugary sweet foods that we desire and we crave? Now, I like honey fine, but there's a lot more that I crave the sweetness of more than honey, such as Little Debbie cakes. I just love junk food, and it seems like just about every meal I want to eat something sweet, and it seems very often after I haven't eaten something sweet for a while, I just crave it, and I just really want to go get a Milky Way. Do we have that type of craving for the Word of God if we are not exposed to it continually? Is it sweet to our taste even more than any type of natural food that we may enjoy? 10 verses in this psalm talk about His love for the Word of God. 9 verses describe it as His delight and His joy. We should rejoice in the Scriptures. Certainly we should praise Him for God giving us this word, but it should be one of our greatest sources of joy in this world. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 111, thy testimonies are the rejoicing of my heart. Are the Scriptures the source of our rejoicing and joy and praise in this world? It should be. I hope that we can cultivate that love and rejoicing and that awe of the Scriptures in our life. The Bible needs to be continually on our mind. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Certainly, if we love the Bible, we're going to be thinking about it. What we love is going to be continually revolving in our mind. There's at least 8 verses in this chapter that speak of meditating upon the Scriptures, such as verse 148, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word." He's staying up late at night for the purpose of meditating upon the Bible. This is what's described in Colossians 3 and 20. It says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly," not just to read the Bible, but for it to dwell in you, for us to continually consider and reconsider the Bible, to revolve it in our mind, to let the word marinate in our mind, to have a greater sweetness and flavor for our understanding of the Bible. We need to make a commitment to memorize the Word of God. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We need to make a commitment to hide the Scriptures down in our heart, because the times which we need Scripture the most, chances are we're not going to have a Bible sitting right in front of us. Think about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when he's up on the mount and Satan is tempting him. He combated the temptation of Satan all 3 times with the Scriptures, with the Word of God. But you see, Satan didn't come to Jesus and tempt him with hunger when he had a buffet right in front of him. He tempted him after he had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan is not going to come after you and tempt you when you've got everything together. He's going to come at you at your lowest moments. I heard a preacher friend of mine quoting a deacon, a member at his church, and he said that Satan doesn't come at you straight up. He comes at you sideways. And that's what Satan does. He comes at you sideways. He's crafty. He's cunning. He's deceptive. And that's why we have to have the Word of God hidden in our heart, where we can whip out that sword of the Spirit at any time to combat the wiles and temptations of Satan. Very rarely are we going to have our greatest, most severe temptation while we're in worship, hearing the preaching of the Word, or while we literally have a Bible in front of us while we're reading it. It comes at the low moments during the day, and that's when you need to know the Scripture in your heart and have it memorized and hidden in your heart to where you can pull it out and defend yourself against the temptations of Satan. Now, it can certainly be difficult to understand the Scriptures, but we need to pray this prayer if we don't have light and clarity upon specific verses or Scriptures. Verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I would encourage you to pray that prayer every time you open up your Bible. Hide that one in your heart, and then pray the prayer, "Lord, bless me to see some glorious truths out of your Scripture. Open mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law today." Probably at least 10 times in this chapter, the psalmist asked the Lord, "Teach me thy statutes, teach me your judgments." Such as verse 26, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works." If you ask the Lord for understanding and you ask the Lord to teach you, I believe the Lord is faithful to answer that prayer, because he wants us to have a greater understanding of the Word of God. And you'll notice the psalmist is not just praying, "Lord, bless me to understand and know the Scriptures so I can be a walking Bible encyclopedia." No, he had an end goal in mind. "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works." Lord, bless me to know more about your Bible so I can tell others about it. Verse 172 says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word." We should have a desire to tell others about this message and even have the boldness, such as verse 46, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Lord, bless me to know more about your Bible, but not so that I can just keep it to myself, but so I can proclaim it to other people. And if I'm ever even given the audience to stand before a king, Lord, bless me to proclaim your word in a bold and a powerful way and to not be ashamed if I'm given that opportunity. And we also want to look at the various effects and blessings and benefits that the Scriptures have in our life that are presented to us in this chapter. The Scriptures give us hope. We saw that from Romans 15 and verse 4. Those things were written aforetime. They were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I'm weary in the midst of my affliction, but because I have an understanding of the Scriptures, I have hope and a confident expectation that God will bless me." We should trust God's word. The Bible gives us guidance and direction in our life. Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is an illuminating effect to show us the way in which we should walk on a daily basis. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. You notice there, the Bible gives understanding and knowledge to the simple. Look at verse 98 through verse 100. Thou, through thy commandments, hath made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Now, understand, this did not happen abstractly, because in the verse prior to that is where we find, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So when we meditate upon the Bible, not just when we read it casually, but when it's our meditation all the day, he says, because of what the Bible teaches me, I'm wiser than all my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, and I understand even more than the ancients, even folks that are a lot older than me. But if they don't accept and follow the Word of God, I actually have more wisdom and understanding than them. The Bible also gives us comfort and strength in the midst of affliction. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The psalmist took comfort in the Bible in the midst of his affliction. Verse 52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. The Bible gives us comfort, but it also gives us strength and stability in the midst of our afflictions and trials in this world. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. If I did not have such an affection and love for your word and confidence in your word, I would have just faltered and failed in the midst of my affliction. But instead, it gave me strength and stability. Verse 28, the psalmist said, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Give me strength in the midst of my affliction. Then in verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I hope that you all have great peace today, but what's the ingredient for great peace? It's by love and affection and meditation upon the scriptures. The Bible gives us the standards of God's commandments, but it also teaches us how to convert and change when we fall into error. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. If a young man is living in a way that needs changing and cleansing, what's the way that he can change his actions? It's by taking heed to the word of God. And the more we love God, the more we love His scriptures, the more our minds are going to be cultivated and conformed to God's opinion. The more we love God, the more we're going to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. We trust with a righteous hatred. Verse 128, I hate every false way. Verse 37, Lord, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Verse 115, depart from me, ye evil workers. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts. Verse 163, I hate lying and a righteous indignation for those that break God's law. Verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Closer aligned we are with God and His scriptures, then we are going to have the same type of indignation against sin in this world that God has. This world, this wicked world, is going to vex our righteous soul daily because we see so many things engaged in that are not in accordance with the Word of God. Isn't it amazing all of the different benefits and blessings and just the thorough examination of the Scriptures that's just given to us in one chapter of the Bible? And finally, as we close, verse 161 says, my heart standeth in awe of God's Word. Aren't you amazed by the way in which God has left His Word for us? Over the period of 1,600 years, 40 different writers from 3 different continents, from all different walks of life, present a canon of Scripture that is in perfect unity with prophecies fulfilled hundreds of years after they were given, that has been preserved for us up until this time, that is still perfectly relevant and applicable to every single one of our lives. How can we not love and rejoice and stand in awe of what God has left for us? Don't ignore and not take advantage of the blessing of the Bible that we have by just letting it sit closed and collect dust on your coffee table. The Bible was given for our benefit. And as the Apostle John wrote in his epistles, and Jesus said the same thing in John 15, I write unto you that your joy may be full. This Bible was not given to us just for a cold list of rules for us to follow, but it's by following the commandments of God that we find the greatest joy in this world. So I desire for you, for your joy to be full. Fall in love with the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Rejoice in it. Praise God for it. Crave it more than honey and gold, and you will be blessed by your commitment to the Word of God. Thank you for bearing with me in these messages. I hope they've been profitable for you. Till we have a chance to be with you again on this program, may God richly bless you, and especially bless your study of the Scriptures today and in the days to come.